So we're so glad we're getting going here this year. Remember, 2025, we felt the Lord lay on my heart, this is going to be a year of opportunities, plural, that opportunities are going to come our way and we need to be ready. I've kind of sensed it, you know, in the spirit a little bit, and things that are starting to materialize and happen in our lives. And, you know, we just need to be ready for them and we need to be able to see them. So we're going to do a series here, a small thing on financial fitness. I haven't really taught on money, I guess, I look back through my notes. It's been years since I ever really dedicated a total series to that. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. And the reason why it's kind of important that we understand it, you know, money or finances is mentioned in the Bible over 2,300 times. And I'm going to go into some other stats in another message here. But to me, that means that it's very important, you know, that you and I understand, you know, the finances from God's perspective, because there's a different way of looking at things. You know, we come into the kingdom of God with certain perspectives already established in our life on how we see things. And so some of that stuff needs to be unraveled and put back together, things like that. I mean, I've told this testimony myself. You know, I had kind of a fear of finances a little bit growing up. I mean, I just was ingrained in me from somebody in my family. And so it made me look at things a different way, and God had to set me free from that. See, money can be a blessing, but it can also be a curse for those who don't know how to handle it. And some people treat money like it's a god, don't they? It's just put it on a pedestal, and if you got it or you don't, and that's just the way it is. And then other people see money as being evil, you know, and money's not evil. The Bible says the love of money's evil. So money's not evil. To me, basically, money is just a tool by which we conduct business and accomplish things in the kingdom of God. That's how we need to see it. Money is just a tool. So if we change the way that we look at things sometimes, it's going to help us, you know, to understand greater things. The passage I'm going to read today is a little lengthy, but it's the last part of the scripture is something that I've been alluding to this year quite frequently, that God has given us the power to create wealth and what that means. So open your Bibles if you have one. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11 to 18. You know, Moses was talking about this stuff here. God had spoken into his heart and revealed some things. And God was getting ready to wanting to take him into the promised land, to the place that he had prepared for him. But we know they weren't ready. They weren't ready at all, because they still didn't think right. And so let's look at this here, verse 11. It says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Then it says, "He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with his fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end." That's what testing and things go for. And then it says, "Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me wealth. But you remember the Lord your God, who has given you the power to make wealth." Why? "That he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as to this day." Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you so much for the stirring of your spirit in each of our hearts, Lord, that we want to receive and to understand everything that you have for us. Holy Spirit, have your way. We acknowledge that you're the teacher. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gift of the Spirit to be in operation. And we bind the devil from trying to steal the word in any way, shape, or form in Jesus' name. Just look at that scripture again. Some words that we need to remember. Do not forget. Watch out, because your heart will become proud and you will forget. And that fact is that he led you, he brought water for you, and he fed you manna. Why? That he might humble you and test you. That's what we go through in life. You know, God wants us to be humble, correct? He doesn't want us to be all about us, but all about him. And then it says that he gave us the power to make wealth. Why? Because he wants to confirm his covenant. Now, covenant, for those who maybe not understand what that is, covenant is like a contract, but it's something that's stronger. Back in the over in the East, when you cut a covenant with somebody, you swore to that to your death. You know? Like when we get married today, you know, we say for rich or for poor and all that. We don't say till I, you know, we do say kind of till I die, but usually it means till I kill you, right? You know, in the marriage. No, that's not that bad. But anyway, the problem is we have the same problem as the children of Israel. They had come out of Egypt where they had been for 430 years. That's a long time. Now, things were going good in the beginning because of the blessing of Joseph. You know, he interpreted the dream and, you know, set things up and, you know, made Egypt prosperous because a famine was coming. Well, then all of a sudden everybody kind of died off that kind of knew about Joseph and things like this. And then there was an evil Pharaoh rose up. And he considered the nation of Israel a threat because they were multiplying so well because they were so blessed by God there. Well, then he put them into slavery. And he made him make bricks. And so he demoralized them. And he made them, I guess, somewhat walk in fear. Many people walk in fear. And so then all of a sudden God brought the 10 plagues and delivered them and protected them in any way. And then they went out in the wilderness, and that's where we're at now. They've made some problems along the way. But the problem is, I want us to see the difference between perception and perspective. I might have mentioned this last year a little bit, but I wanted to just kind of go over it again. You know, perception is what you see, okay? Perception is what you see. But perspective is the lens that we look through what we see. You ever heard the old saying, rose-colored glasses? You know, people put on rose-colored glasses and everything. They're always optimistic. And, you know, sometimes that burns people. You know, I mean, have you ever ran into somebody that, by all account and reasons, they don't have anything. They're broke. At least by what you see compared to you, they're broke. And they're happy and you're not. Just makes you mad. Why are they so happy? They don't have stuff like I got stuff. Perspective. That's the thing. They look at things from a glass half full instead of a glass half empty. And it's our perspective that helps us to see and to understand things in a different light. Instead of being a negative Nelly, we're positive and we're optimistic. We're looking for opportunities, you know? Like I've said before, you know, two people can look at the same thing. Like, let's say an old house. And you look at that house and it's just a piece of junk. I mean, the roof has a hole in it. Water pipes are leaking. All these problems. And you say, ah, that's junk. Well, then somebody else sees that. And they see opportunity. They can fix that thing up and maybe double their price on it. It all depends on how you look at things. And so it's like that. And sometimes you and I are living under a curse from the old life, the old ways, due to things that we've experienced in life and that we've learned in life, and it's holding us in bondage. And it's maybe hindering us from really seeing the blessings and everything that God has for us in our life. So it all depends on how you look at things. And so if we can tweak and turn and change how we look at things, I think it's going to open up our potential to what God has for our life. So because God basically just has a different way than the world of doing things, especially when it comes to money. The old joke always say, you know, some people get all they can all they get, and then set on their can, right? That's just what, you know, perspective. Gimme, 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 gimme. My name's Jimmy, you know, I mean, I want it all. And so they go after that in their life, and no matter how much they have, they never have enough. Compared to somebody who's walking in kingdom principles, because, you know, we need to start seeing things like God sees them and living kingdom living. And when we start to see that, then we can start to see that, hey, God blesses me so I can be a blessing. Just a simple turn on how you look at life. And it makes a big difference. So we need to change our perspective if we're ever going to fix our perception. You'll never see things correctly unless you change your perspective. We need to get to higher ground. Amen? Just think about it. If you get to higher ground, you have a better view. You can see the big picture. So we need to get higher with God. Okay, so this passage here we're looking at is not talking about spiritual blessings. It's talking about money or possessions. So we're going to look at it that way. So first point I want to look at is that we try to do things my way. You know, my way. I want to do it my way. And that's usually how we start out. Because why? Because that's the only way we know. I only know how to do it my way. Have you ever gotten married to somebody and they do it totally different than you? And so you try to do it their way. You don't try to do it their way. You try to do it your way. And they try to do it their way. But I'll be honest, sometimes their way is better than my way. If I was honest. Ooh, which I'm not. No, I'm kidding.
He's usually right. It's frustrating.
My wife has ideas, great ideas that I never thought of. Go figure, huh? Why? Because I'm always used to doing it my way. I did it my way for years. And then all of a sudden I found out there's a different way. And it was like that, you know, because, you know, we need to be careful, because the scripture there says beware. That means be cautious or alert for potential danger, because we can miss out so much on what God's doing because our perspective's wrong. And when our perspective's wrong, it changes our perception. Because in the land of plenty, it's easy to forget the true source. We live in the land of plenty. I'll be honest, some people may not feel like they have much in our nation, but compared to other nations, you're considered rich. It all depends on your perspective, on how you see things. And, you know, we need to change that. And some of the things that we need to be aware of in our culture is we get too busy. We get too busy, and we're chasing after things, and we kind of take our eye off the ball, shall we say, and we get distracted chasing after so many things, and then we kind of lose touch with God, and it makes us miss out. Other things that cause us problems and we get ourselves under stress is because we purchase things we don't need with money we don't have. You know, that's a problem. You know, credit cards, I mean, they're all good. I have a credit card. I use it. But I pay it off every month. You know, I get 2% back on my card, so every now and then I redeem those points. And that's bonus money right there. I use their money. You know, but, you know, so we need to be careful that we don't get into that. You know, I used to be in construction a lot and, you know, wiring houses. And, you know, I've watched it so many times that people overextend themselves and they build a house that they can't afford. Well, they could afford it to get into it with all the loans and stuff, but they can't maintain the monthly payment. They miss one paycheck, it's over. Or they have gotten into that house and they can't even go out to eat. They've overextended themselves. You need to have a budget and you need to live within your borders. And we're going to go into that later in the series. So all these things are important. You know, sometimes we try to keep up with the neighbors. They have stuff, so we want that stuff. So that's what happens is when we make the mistake of thinking that it's all about us. So we're starting off the series and we're trying to fix our perspective a little bit so that we can heal our perception and get into the blessings of God and start to chase those down. Because I really do believe God has given us the power to make wealth if we just tap into his system. You know, so Jeremiah 17:5 says, "Cursed is he who trusts in the arm of flesh." You know, we trust in ourselves and our abilities. You know, some people are very talented and very gifted in what you do. And it's so easy to get into that. And, you know, I, as an electrician, I used to be very dedicated when I was in Denver. And, I wouldn't take a lot of guff if I didn't, you know, like something. I'd just quit and go get another job. People wanted me. I mean, I was a closer. I got stuff done. You know, and God, after I got saved, humbled me and taught me a little bit different perspective about that. You know, so, you know, we need to not distrust in our own self, you know, and kind of see the big picture, because there's a big danger in becoming proud. If we become too proud, because, you know, the Bible says pride cometh before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, we need to make sure that we walk with our God, I guess, in a way of humility. You know, learning to trust him. I've always said that one step towards self-sufficiency is a step away from God. It's so hard sometimes for us to remember that, because it's a fine line we walk, just like grace and works, you know. We've talked about grace and works, and you got to walk that fine line. If you go too far over into grace, you're into greasy grace, and you think you're getting away with everything. But then if you go this way too far, then you're in the works. And then you feel like, well, I got to work for it. I got to earn it. You know, I got to show God how much I love him, because that'll make him love me more. And that's a lie. No, you got to stay right where the sweet spot is. Well, it's like that with our abilities. You know, God has given you abilities. But you have to understand the abilities came from God. It's up to us to maybe develop those things. It's up to us to maybe help use those things to, you know, use them to be able to provide for our families and things like that. But you got to stay in that sweet spot. You know, you can't just sit at home, you know, believing God's going to bring it in the mail. You know what I mean? That don't work. But you also just can't believe that it's all about me, that I'm the one who's doing this and God's not really in on it. No, you have to find that spot where you start to trust God and you get into that blessing. And I've watched this in people's lives, and, you know, this is effective. It works. It works every time, and it helps us to get where we need to be. So what is God's way? We're going to see a little bit what he did for the children of Israel here when he brought them out of Egypt. Now, you know the story. You've read about the 10 plagues, and you've also, you know, saw how God dealt with Pharaoh's army. You know, they followed him into the sea, and he told Moses to close the sea, and close the sea, and they were wiped out. You know, God just did big miracles. Well, then when they got just a little bit out of there, they got thirsty, and they got all mad at God again. So human nature's a mess sometimes. You know, I mean, you can be in here praising God, hallelujah, and, you know, walk out them doors, and game on. It's total different out there, ain't it? You know, grouchy, you know, mad, you know, all about me. So we've got to be careful. So God's way is, you know, this way is the way that we start, you know, of their relationship with God. Like I mentioned, we have the benefit as a Christian. We have the best covenant since creation, other than Adam. Adam had it really good, but he messed up. Adam walked and talked with God, just had a sweet relationship, and then the fall. But since the fall, the church, the Christians, we have the best covenant possible. You know, why would we ever want to go back to the Jewish covenant? It's not as good as ours. You know, so these people had been left Canaan, and they went to Egypt because of the famine. Like I said, they lived there 430 years. And then, you know, they didn't really have the benefit of knowing God like we do. And then Moses was called by God, and then he got Aaron because Moses felt he was a little bit shy, didn't want to speak in front of people. Anyway, God made accommodations for him because he wanted to get things done. And God will make accommodations if we're too wimpy to do what God's called us to do. You know what I mean? Sometimes he will. God's will always be done. It's going to get done. It's best if we're a part of it, but if not, he'll get her done. Don't worry about that. Things that are etched in stone, it's going to happen, you know. But anyway, so these people didn't really know God. And all of a sudden, now God's trying to build a relationship with them and reveal himself to them like he's trying to do to us. So they came from a perspective of not really knowing a lot about God, and they were in slavery and they had to work so hard to get everything they had. Matter of fact, they got in trouble with Pharaoh because when Moses started to deliver them, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and then he even took away the straw. Their job was to make bricks, so you needed dirt, water, and straw. Well, that ticked Pharaoh off, and so Pharaoh says, hey, go get your own straw. Made it worse for him for a while. So they were scrambling, always working their tails off, just trying to get things done. And so they felt they just had to do it all. Well, now God delivered them, and he's bringing them into a place where he said he's providing for them. He gave them manna. He gave them water, all these things, and protection. And so it was kind of different. So he's trying to reveal to them some different things that they were needing to understand. And here's a few things, because, you know, God's system, like I said, is totally different, you know, than the world's, because grace and trust is so much different than works and fear. You know, isn't it sad? Some people who seem like they have everything walk in fear. Because the fear happens is if you have fear, you won't have enough. You go fetch it all, and you put it in a pile, then what's the next thing? You're afraid somebody's going to take it from you. Fear. And so you can't really enjoy what you have, so we got to get past that. So here's some things that God did, and I'm going to go over these again. He led them through the wilderness, you know, a place they'd never been before. Pillar of fire at night and cloud by day. He would lead him and guide him and show him that, hey, you know, follow me and I'll take care of you. In the wilderness, there were some critters, scorpions and serpents. How many like those things? Nobody, probably. You know, he protected them out of that. There's dry ground, wasn't a lot of water anywhere. So what he had to do is he brought water out of a rock, a dry rock, you know, flint, and just amazed them. You know, they didn't really understand that. And like I said, he gave them manna, which is food to eat, and just provided for them, just revealed himself as their provider and daily bread. And the reason why he did this is because, you know, they'd always had to work so much to do it their way. Look at me, look what I've done, look what I've accomplished. I've made all these bricks, I have all this stuff. But he did it to humble him, to show him that, hey, I'm your provider. You can't provide in the wilderness. There's nothing you can do. You're in this situation and you can't get yourself out. You need to look to me. So he humbled them. Because what he wanted to do, it said that he wanted to test us. Testing's no fun. A lot of people don't like tests. I can understand that. But without a test, no testimony, right? So we get tested. And why? Because tests, people, help us in the end. When we go through things, you know, tests help us in the end. It's about our character. It's about growth. It's about what God is doing in our life to make us a more mature Christian. So that's awesome. You know, I found out in life that God may not deliver us from every problem in life, but he will bring us through every problem in life. You know, we're going to go through some problems. Everybody's going to have that. Don't think, oh man, God's mad at me, boo-hoo. Now, granted, we may have done something stupid, no doubt, right? Am I the only one? Huh? Sometimes I make bad choices. You know, so anyway. But God is faithful. And then to get to the last point here is the idea that the power to get wealth and what that means. How do God give us the power to make wealth? Well, there's a few things here. You know, the first thing, the overall reaching thing that you and I need to develop, as I mentioned, is it starts with gratitude. Gratitude. That attitude of gratitude where you're thankful. You know, God, you know, provides for us, and sometimes he does it through a job, most of the time, right? So grateful that you get a chance to use maybe some of your gifts and talents. And the problem is, you know, sometimes we just don't know how to start, or we just don't want to start, but I just say start where you're at. Where are you today? Start today. Practicing gratitude, being thankful to God. You know, don't just wait for something big, but little blessings add up in time. You know, sometimes we wait for something huge and monumental, something big, boom. But really, it's a step by step, walking by faith, you know, seeing God move in our life in these little things. And those little things start to add up, and they start to materialize in our life. And so as we do that, then we start to see how God is really doing some things. See, God provides the opportunity, and we supply the labor. Simple as that. You know, the old joke, I'd say, I used to pray for prosperity, and I got overtime, you know. That's just the way it worked with me. You know, I wasn't afraid to work. I was a farm boy. Just the way it is. You know, there's no shame in that. No shame in getting your hands dirty. You know, I'm thankful to God because what I did, I like to do missions, and all my overtime money went to missions. Paid for my mission trips. You know, so I could go out and serve God in that way. God just did it that way through me. He may do it different through you. But that's one thing he did for me. So, you know, we put in the work, and then it's God who gives the increase. And we need to see that God will increase. And that's a word that we need to remember, increase. You know, and there's different levels of increase, right? Recently, interest rates were up. So your savings account, if you played it right and put it in the right account, you got more increase than you did several years ago. Now, rates are coming down, so increase is slowing down in that market probably. But there's always increase out there in some ways that you and I, you know, can tap into. You know, Scripture says, whatever you put your hand to do, do it with all your might. Put your heart into it. Go for it. You know, be that kind of person at work. Don't be the person that hides from the boss all the time. You know, be the person that puts the time in and gets the things done, and they can depend on you. And that'll pay off in the long run. You know, I remember I've been self-employed since I moved back to Iowa, but when I lived in Denver, I was still a journeyman working for other people, and, you know, sometimes God would, I mean, I wasn't the first one hired at that company, but many times I was the last one out the door. Why? Because I worked hard. My view on life was, my job was to make my boss money. That was why I was hired. That was my job. I'm supposed to make him money. And so I worked hard. And I was rewarded for that. You can be rewarded, you know, for that kind of work ethic. And it pays off in the end, and you get things. And like I said, you know, I remember one of the other people, we was on a job and things were getting kind of slow and everybody else got laid off, even the so-called darling of the group. And they kept me on till the end. And I ended up going to another company because finally this company kind of shut down. But, you know, God has a way. He'll make a way when you put Him first in your life. You know, I called on my covenant partner. My covenant partner was God. And I wanted to see him move in my life and how all that works. So, and the thing is, how do we handle different seasons? You know, you and I go through different seasons in your life. Some of you are old enough to understand this, and you've been through a lot of seasons. Some seasons we have too much. We have plenty, don't we? You have more in the bank than you need. Glory to God. I love those seasons, don't you? Them are good seasons. You know, but then also, every now and then, you might get a season where things are a little lean, don't they? May not be as good as it was before. You know, how do you handle those? You know, we need to understand that we don't live in seasons, we go through seasons. Nobody usually gets to stay in one season their whole life. That's just the way it is. They rotate. I mean, I prefer, you know, I like summer, like I've always said, because I like it hot versus winter. But I know I can't have summer until I go through winter right now. I got to go through it. I don't stay in winter. Now, if I move somewhere way up north, I suppose I'd just be in winter all the time. I just pray to God He don't send me north. Amen? That's not my thing. You know, and I don't have the persuasion that God will make you do something you don't want to do either. You know, that's why some people are scared to pray to God about, God, I'll do whatever you want, because they're afraid He's going to send you on the mission field somewhere. Believe me, if God called you to mission field, that's the happiest place you'll ever be on the planet. Right in the center of God's will. Doesn't matter where it's at. He'll put you in the center. So I suppose if He sent me north, you know, and if I'm in God's will, I would do it. Amen? But I'm still praying the other way. Amen. All right. So, what do we do? How do you practice? Here's some things we need to practice. Three things, basically. There's probably more, but I went with three. As we go through the different seasons in life, as I mentioned, we're going to go through them. First one, be humble. Here's one right here, a scripture. Proverbs 22:4 says, "The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life." That's a promise. As we walk in humility with our God, here's some things that He promises will happen. Number two, be teachable. No, don't be a know-it-all. You know, even at an older age, you can learn new things, right? You know, the old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but hopefully an older Christian can still learn some things. I'm still learning. You know, I've been saved since I was 24. I'm, you know, well past that now. And I'm still learning things from God. Why? Because I want to be teachable. I want to understand more. I want to receive more from God has, because I know there's more there. Third, be thankful. Practice thankfulness in your life. Be thankful. Don't be whining all the time. You know, don't be a crier in a sense where, oh, I don't have this and I don't have that. This ain't going right. You know, being like that all the time, because you're never going to break the cycle with that kind of attitude. It's just tough, because it's our perspective that keeps us on the merry-go-round. You know what I'm saying? You ever been on a merry-go-round? It's been years. I got vertigo issues now probably, you know, I'm just guessing. But, you know, I suppose merry-go-rounds are a little dangerous for kids today. I don't know. I haven't seen too many merry-go-rounds around, but anyway, you keep going around and around, see the same thing all the time. It's hard to get off that merry-go-round unless you let go. If you let go, you're going off one way or the other. So you want to break that cycle and start being thankful. And you can start that today. Maybe you're going through a hard time, but find something to be thankful about. I mean, surely you're thankful about something. If not anything else, thankful for the joy of your salvation. Amen? Okay. Next, we need to remember our covenant partner. And I may go into covenant, excuse me, a little bit deeper later, but for today, I just want to kind of just throw this out there. And we just remember that we're in covenant with God and what that means. You know, it's a mindset. You know, just like the mindset of being married. You know, when you get married, hopefully your mindset changes. You're no longer singular. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you get married, you can't just think singular, right? You got to think plural. Why? Because you're in covenant. Really, a marriage is a covenant. And when you're married to somebody, you have to kind of consider their interests and their perspective. And so we're in covenant with God, so we need to look at the way that He's seeing things. And that's a mindset that we're not in this alone. Remember, God gives us power. That word power is talking about divine power. When God gives it to us, it's divine power. It's divine power and ability. And then we need to, like I mentioned earlier, practice His promises. You know, the Bible says, don't be just a what? Hearer of the word. That's what we're doing today. We're hearing the word. But what are we supposed to do? Be a doer of the word. Now, hearing will help. It'll get you a little bit farther down the road. No doubt. But what'll get you to your destination is being a doer. Be a doer of the promise of God. You know, like that promise of riches, honor in that Proverbs scripture. What does it say? Be humble. If you do that, you get this. Okay? Well, if you just hear it and never practice it, then you're not really going to get it. You know you have it, but you're never going to really get it. So we have to walk out our faith. You know, walk it out every day. This is how it works. Okay. Now, couple questions we need to answer. I want to throw these in. Number one, be honest with yourself. Do you believe God wants to bless you? Valid question. Search your heart. Because in your head you may say yes, but in your heart you say no. Deep down inside, do you really believe God wants to bless you? And next question, do you believe that God has the power to bless you? We need to settle those two questions. That'll start us on our journey. Because if you don't believe that God wants you blessed, there's no use taking this trip. No use going on the ride. You know? And then if you don't believe that God has the power to do that, then, you know, why bother? But if you can answer yes to these questions, well then, now you're on your journey to ready to do it. And so here's some things that we can remember. And wrapping this down here. All our abilities and opportunities come from God. Acknowledge that in your life. Maybe you work at a factory. Just acknowledge that gift, that comes from God. Not everybody can do that. Right? Somebody's laughing about that. I don't know. Is that you? Somebody said on the front, well, we used to work at a factory. You know, it's hard work, some of it. You know, also we got to remember we can't serve two masters. Matthew 6:24, you know, says you can't serve God and mammon. So God has to be first in our life. That's the next thing we got to settle. Is God first in your life? Are we chasing money or are we chasing God? Chase money, you won't get God. Chase God, you'll get money. You can have it all, as long as you put God first. I'm not saying you can have it all. What I meant by that was you can get both. You won't have all the money. You know, I'm not trying to say we're going to name it and claim it or blab it and grab it. You know what I'm saying? Them old, how that works, you know. Just because you say you got $1 million doesn't mean you're going to get $1 million. I'm not doing that stuff. But, you know, we need to have a proper perspective of kingdom principles on how God does with money. Remember, money's a tool, no more, no less. It's not to be worshipped or idolized, but it's a tool. That's how you conduct business, right? You know, you can't go up to the pay your water bill with tokens or anything. No, you got to have money. So money is just a tool. It buys you water. It buys you electricity. It buys you gas. It buys you food. Buys you a roof over your head. It's just a tool. That's all it is. We just use it. Money is for us to use, not to use us. We use money. Okay. Then gratitude is the attitude we need to foster in our relationship with God. Okay. Next one I really want us to get is you have three things at your disposal. Everybody does. We all have this. We may have different measures, but we have time. We all have the same time. Nobody has any different time. There's 24 hours in a day, right? Right? We're all on the same page? Okay. You got time and you got talent. Now, we all have talents, but we may not have the same talent. And then there's treasure. We all have treasure, and there might be different levels of how much treasure we have. But what you and I do is you and I do an exchange every week. We invest our time and our talent in order to get treasure. You go to work, you invest time, you're there, you spend hours, you invest your talent, the giftings that God's given you, and for that, they give you treasure. And we need to see it, that simple way of looking at it. That way we all have these three things to work with. And let's say we're going to go into this a little later on, but maybe you have greed in your life. There's only one way that I've found that kills greed, is practicing generosity. Practicing generosity kills greed. Last point here is to be blessed, like I said before, doesn't mean we have it all. It just means that we have more than we need. We need to see that. Start right there too. These are baby steps. If you have more in your budget than's coming in than you have going out, you're a blessed person. And you just need to tell yourself, I'm blessed. Thank God I meet my obligations. Thank you, Lord. You know, and you practice with the little things, and then God will give you more. So we need to lean on our covenant partner in order to get the power to create wealth. And we're going to go into that a little deeper next week. Amen? All right. Let's close in prayer.